Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
A very good morning to every one of you. It's a joy for my wife and I to be here this morning worshiping God together with you all. We came in about three Fridays ago, but after 1 week we had to go back for another week, for a week, primarily because my eldest brother passed away and we had to return. We just came back on Thursday night, and it's a joy to be seeing all of you again. I don't know how many of you remember me, but I remember many of you. Praise God. So I'd like to thank your pastor once again for inviting me to minister to you this morning. I'd like to begin by asking you a very awkward question. You don't have to answer it. But the question is this: how often do you bathe? Some will probably bathe every day, at least once a day. Some people even twice. Some people even three times. But is there anyone among us that never bathe for any one day, except if you're on the campsite or somewhere outside? I do believe that everyone bathes regularly, right? And that we will not wear back our old clothing, the dirty clothing that we were wearing before. We change into new ones. How many of you bathe and then change into your old clothing? Anyone? Sometimes, if it's not really that dirty, you might. But most of the time, you change into new clothing. And what would you do if you're going for a meeting and you stop by at a coffee house and you had a coffee and it spilled on your shirt or your dress? Would you go back as fast as possible and get changed before you go for that meeting? Or if you're too far away, maybe go into a shop and buy a new one? We don't want to appear dirty, do we? And we don't feel good in being dirty. That is on the physical side. But we are spiritual beings in the physical world. We are spiritual beings in the physical body. And our focus is often on the physical side of life and not on the spiritual. But we know our former life, God looks at it, our sins are like filthy rags. And we continue with our former lives and not wanting to change whatever. Today I want to speak about getting change. Get change. It's from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 24. And the Apostle Paul says this: "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God, from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you learned about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You're taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." We are both physical and spiritual beings. But what is more important? Is it our spiritual life or is it our physical life? Physically, we are on this earth. And if you are strong enough, blessed enough, you may live for 100 years. 100 enough or not? I want to live for 200 more years. But there's a limited time on earth. That is the amount of time that the average person would live, maybe between 80 to 100. And there are some people that goes beyond 100. I have an auntie that is 107. And she's still very strong. I look at her, I wonder how she survived so long. But she's 107 and she's mentally alert and physically alert. They live on a three-story building and they have a lift, but she refused to use the lift. Strong, determined lady. But I know that she has a fixed number of years on earth. So do every one of us. So what is more important, the physical life or the spiritual life? If we care about ourselves in keeping ourselves clean, not dirty, what about our spiritual man? So how do we do that? How do we keep ourselves spiritually strong, changing from the old person that we were to somebody whom God actually intends us to be? And this is what Paul urges the Ephesians. In Ephesians, you find that the beginning is, Paul says, so. When he used the word so, it means that he has been speaking about something before that. We know that the book of Ephesians is about the church being a community. And in chapter 1 to 3 of the book, Paul talks about the theology of the church being a community. When he reaches chapter 4, this is what he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the church is vital to God. This is His community. But how do we keep the community? Paul goes on. He doesn't stop here. He goes on. And in Ephesians 4, 7 to 16, he says, use your spiritual gift to build up the community. Every one of us has been given a spiritual gift. And you're here for a special reason. Because God knows that your spiritual gift is needed in the church. And we're robbing God and the church if we don't use the spiritual gift that God has given to us. So, between verse 7 to verse 16, Paul tells us, use your spiritual gift. And then from 17 to 24, he says, get change. Why? Because in the former self, sin is inwardly looking towards self. It's very selfish. Sin is all about self. And if we, all of us here, do not change and we are in our former lives, all looking inwardly towards ourselves, how can we be united in the Spirit? How can we be united as a community? It is only when we get change and the love of God comes into us and we become a person of love. Love looks out of self, it looks towards the good of others, it looks towards the good of the community, it looks towards the good of God. Then will the church actually become a united community? That is why Paul feels that it's important for us to get change. And how do we do that? The first part, verse 17 to 19, is really about our old life. Okay? And in it, I pick up one particular verse. They've given themselves over to sensuality. Our former life of sin is one based on sensuality. Now, what does that mean? God has given us five senses so that we can build up relationship with each other. We see, we smell, we hear, we taste, and we touch. We see the beauty of God, the creation of God. I went for a walk yesterday evening, and I noticed a bunch of birds, beautiful white, probably I think those are parrots, our family birds, beautiful birds, and I said, praise God for His creation. And that's what God has given us eyes to do. see the beauty of His creation and appreciate Him better. And we can see each other and build up relationship with each other. With our ears, we can hear encouraging words. We can hear the praise songs. And our spirit are lifted up because of the worship songs that we hear. With our mouth, we can speak words of encouragement to others and build them up. With our taste, we can taste food and say, praise God for all the creative people that has created all this cuisine for us. God has given us five senses, but what have we done with these five senses? We have used these five senses in our sin to gratify our flesh. What do I mean by that? With our eyes, we look at a person of the opposite sex and begin to fantasize. That's the first thing. Right? Secondly, we go into our computer, into the internet, and watch pornographic videos. Sometimes photographs. Sometimes it's printed ones. We read pornographic books with our eyes, which God has not intended us to use our eyes in those ways. With our ears, we listen to dirty jokes and we begin to enjoy them. With our mouth, we speak words that is offensive to other people. With our smell and taste, we indulge in food. Often overeating, becoming a glutton. And glutton is a sin. And with our touch, we caress other people that is not our spouse, get into sex with them. So we have fallen men have given way in their senses to sensuality. And Paul says, this is not the way you should live any longer. Well, the word Gentiles here doesn't mean the word Gentiles that we know of. The word Gentile means any non-Jew. Obviously, there are some Gentiles, non-Jews, that are Christians who knows the Lord and who live ways in the ways of Lord, of God. In the ways of God. But what it does mean is, this must no longer be the way for us as Christians. We have been saved so that we can become different. We can become Christ-like in nature. No longer should we be just focused on this physical life, satisfying and gratifying our flesh. But we should do all that we can to build up the inner man so that we can have a real relationship with God. So that we can be a positive contribution to the community that God has placed us in. And Paul goes on. In verse 20 to 24, it is about our new life. What did he say about the new life? First of all, he said to be made new in the attitude of our minds. What do we mean? Sin is really wrong thinking. Wrong thinking causes us to fall into sin. Let's consider Adam and Eve and the first and original sin that took place on this earth. God told them, do not eat of the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? They can eat of all the trees. But there's this one tree, don't touch it. If they had followed God and think along the line that God wants them to think, we should not eat of this particular tree. We can eat of any trees, but not this one. Thinking along that line, they would have been okay. But they were led to think differently. Not trusting God. Did God really say that? The serpent told them. And they were led to think differently, that God cannot be trusted. And therefore they committed the sin. If we don't think properly, it causes us to go into sin. You find that people sexual liberty in the nation and in many parts of the world has gone into that because people think there's nothing wrong with it. And that's why they get into it. There's nothing wrong with it. That they tell themselves and they tell other people, nothing wrong with it. Same-sex marriage accepted by the nation, what? Nothing wrong with it. So they distrust God. And their thinking therefore become very depraved. And that's what Paul says in Romans 1:28. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. Because they did not trust God anymore, they kept on rejecting God. And what did God finally do? If you are going to continue to think that way and not trust me, just continue. I can't do anything to help or stop you. So God gave them over to a depraved mind. But what did Paul tells us of as Christians? Once we come to God and accept Jesus into our lives, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this is what Paul is talking here. If we want to get change, start by renewing our minds. How do we do that? How do we know the precepts of God? How do we know what are the things that God that pleases God and the things that God hates? How do we know that? How do we know God even? It's through His Word. Correct? So if we don't read the Bible, how much of God do we know? And how much of God's way do we know? And we'll continue to think in the way that we used to think, in the depravity of our minds. So the only way to get change is to read the Bible, consume the Bible, know the Bible, and live by the Bible. We have 24 hours per day. And I think most of us live it in the physical way. Am I right? How much time do we give to the building up of a spiritual man? How much time do we give to a relationship with God? Don't forget this, our physical life, there's a limited number of years. But our spiritual life is for eternity. Where is the comparison? What do we want to do? Do we want to spend time on the physical that will one day rot away, no more for us? Or do we want to spend time on our spiritual life and building up our spiritual life that will last for eternity? We have to begin now by knowing God's will, God's will and God's way, by reading the Bible, consuming the Bible. In fact, for me, I would like to live every second of my life in the spiritual way. And we really can do it. You know why? Paul tells us to pray continually. And you may be wondering, Pastor, how do we pray continually? If we go everywhere mouthing words of prayer, people will think that we're crazy. So how do we do that? Well, the word prayer is just not mouthing words of prayer. Okay? Prayer means a relationship with God. It means that I live every second of every day, every second of every day, focus on God. God is never off my mind. I'm always aware of His presence in whatever I do. I give thanks to God. I ask God for help and so on. Ask yourself, if you need help in something, who's the first person you ask? Is it God? Or do you resort to your own thinking? Perhaps ask a friend? Is God the first person you ask? This is the way that we should live our lives. Focus on God all the time. Getting to office, the first thing before we start work. God, I do thank you for this day. Please help me in my work. And then begin the work. So in whatever you do, you're focused on God. And in that way, you can build up your spiritual man. And when you do that, you will get change. The words of God will come in, and the words of God is a cleansing agent that will clean out the old man and put into place the person that God wants you to be. In that way, you'll get changed. You'll get changed spiritually, and you live in a life that pleases God. Secondly, be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Why do sinners get themselves into the stage of sensuality? Paul says, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit is there all the time guiding us. In fact, the Holy Spirit is on this earth and He's active and is guiding everyone unto God. He'll convict sinners of their sin. And for Christians who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit will be guiding us. When we come into a situation tempted to do something that we know we shouldn't, you hear two voices. One, the Holy Spirit telling you not to do it. And the other, the carnal nature telling you, do it. Which voice do you listen to? If we keep on denying the Holy Spirit, we'll lose all sensitivity. And we become like this Ephesians. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality. God loves us. He's provided the Holy Spirit to guide us so that we can be built up as spiritual men living a physical life on earth. And the next thing is to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Holiness means to be separated from the ways of the world, to be different from the ways of the world. Righteousness in English is often thought of as being doing the right things in the sight of God and others, doing the right things. But for the Jews and for Paul, it means much more than just doing the right things. The righteousness of God is all the actions of God in trying to get fallen human being back and the world, fallen human being and the world, back to the stage of shalom. Shalom is the stage of peace before man fell into sin. Okay? It's the stage of peace before man fell into sin. That's shalom. The whole world was in harmony. It was peace all over the world. There's no such thing as wild animals. A baby can be crawling beside a lion and not be frightened because they are at peace. That is the stage of shalom. And God is doing all He can to restore this world back to shalom. So all His actions basically are called righteousness in the sight of, in the thinking of the Jews and Paul. And God has made a covenant with us as His people. I'll be your God and you be my people. God has kept His part of the bargain. He's always a faithful God. But man has broken that covenant with God. But God still reaches out to men, trying to restore men back into the covenant with him. All these actions, the Jews and Paul knows as the righteousness of God. And so when he says to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, he means for us to get back into the sense of being a member of his community. Get change and become a real member of his community. And how do we do that? God has created us in his image, right? He is love and he wants us to be people of love. So we have to embrace his love and become a people of love. Also, we know that God is the Trinitarian God, three persons completely united as one. Though we may be diverse here, we have to be completely united as one. What the world needs now is love. How many of you know that song? It's a beautiful song. And when I think of the words, what the world needs now is love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. I believe in the words of the song. People need love. And if we can become members of love, this church becoming a true community, I'll say that people will begin to flock into this church. That's how the early church actually grew. When the Christians got together, supporting each other and so on, people from the outside, how come these people are loving to each other, so loving to each other, supporting each other in that way? And they wanted what the Christians had. So let's be people of love. Let's get into true righteousness and holiness. Let's get change. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love. And we do thank you, Father, that you've created each one of us in your image to be people of love. And you've given us a life, Father, that is glorious, is magnificent, and you want us, Father, to live in that life. Father, we ask for your forgiveness as many times, Father, we've been distracted and our focus is on things of this world rather than on you and our spiritual life. We ask, Father, that you help us, Father, to get back into the stage where you intend us to be. We do thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor. This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.